Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching for the next 9 months while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. Pastor is scheduled to return July 2021. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen. My teaching titled Divine Healing, Our Covenant Right, is vital for mankind in general, and especially Christians, because we have an adversary, Satan, whose only intention is to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan's deadly diseases, including COVID-19, were spawned in the pit of hell to destroy God's greatest creation, man. For those of you who have been with me from the beginning of this teaching know that based on Scripture, I have made a valid case that the Holy Bible is a blood covenant book that was instituted by our Heavenly Father on the life, blood, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. As a result of Jesus' obedience and faithfulness to complete his earthly assignment, mankind can once again be reunited to our Creator and live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. God gave Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, to lay his life down on our behalf, whereupon safeguarding the blood covenant he made with Abraham and ensuring that no man could once again separate us from him. As a result, we can depend on God's promises recorded in the Holy Bible. His promises are forevermore written and confirmed on his life unto death. I thank my God and Jesus Christ that God is not a man that he should lie. Further, that Jesus did complete his redemptive assignment for all men. Christians can rest assured that our salvation and abundant life is paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, including our covenant right to divine healing. Before we read our four foundational scriptures for this teaching, I want to remind everyone that I am purposely reading these foundational scriptures each week so that the truth contained in these verses will penetrate not just your mind, but your spirit. Whereupon, in the future, when sickness and disease try to come against you, the Holy Spirit will bring back to your remembrance this living word of God. Then you can speak this blessed word over your challenge and drive Satan and his demonic assignments away from you. Before we complete this teaching, we will be discussing the importance of making daily faith confessions over yourselves and loved ones. For this teaching, I will continue to quote from the Amplified Study Bible unless otherwise stated. Now, please turn to our first foundational scripture found in the book of Psalm. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Verse 1 says, "Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is deep within me. Bless his holy name." Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget any of his benefits. Who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you lavishly with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the soaring eagle. Please turn to our second foundational scripture found in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Verse 4 says, "But in fact, he, Jesus, has bore our griefs, and he has carried our sorrows and pains. Yet we ignorantly assume that he was stricken, struck down by God and degraded, humiliated by him." Verse 5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness. Our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing, the punishment required for our well-being fell on him, Jesus. And by his stripes, wounds, we are healed." Please turn to our third foundational scripture found in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, "When evening came, they brought to him, Jesus, many who were under the power of demons, and he cast out the evil spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick, exhibiting his authority as Messiah." Verse 17, "So that he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took our infirmities upon himself and carried away our diseases." Now let's turn to our last foundational scripture found in the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2:24. "He, Jesus, personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, willingly offering himself on it as on an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and power of sin, and live for righteousness. For by his, Jesus' wounds, you who believe have been healed." Amen and amen. All these scriptures and many more like them tell us that Jesus took every sickness, every pain, every disease on himself, so that we believers would not have to accept Satan's physical attacks on mankind. We are healed in Jesus. Now I want to proceed from where I left off last week before I ran out of time. In our examination of the healing redemptive work of Jesus Christ, I stated that our Heavenly Father does not inflict his children with sickness or disease. To do so would be an act of child abuse, and we know that God is not a child abuser. And we read several passages from the healing ministry of Jesus and his disciples, including the passage from the book of 2 Corinthians regarding Paul's thorn in the flesh. Please turn to the book of 2 Corinthians and let's reread a portion of that passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10. Verse 7 says, "Because of the surpassing greatness and extraordinary nature of the revelations which I received from God, for this reason, to keep me from thinking of myself as important, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to torment and harass me, to keep me from exalting myself." Verse 8, "Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might leave me. But he has said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough, always available regardless of the situation, for my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself more effectively in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly boast in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and may dwell in me. So I am well pleased with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, and with difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am strong, truly able, truly powerful, truly drawing from God's strength." All right, family. Now, last week, when we first read the complete passage here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I was reminding people that we often hear that Paul's thorn in the flesh was sickness and disease. And as a result of that, many Christians believe that God allows or puts on Christians sickness, disease, persecutions, trials, and tests. But we know from the scriptures that God is all-knowing, and he knows exactly how we're going to react to any situation. Remember, he knows the end at the beginning. So he does not need to test us. He does not have to put any sickness or disease on us to find out how we're going to react. He knows how we're going to react. But we do live in this earth realm, and it is imperfect because of Satan. And Satan does not know how you will react. So he puts on harassments, persecutions, sickness, disease on God's children if we allow him. So I want to go back to verse number 7. And I want to highlight some things that Paul said from his mouth regarding the situation, the thorn in the flesh. So verse 7 says at the very top, because of the surpassing greatness and extraordinary nature of the revelations which I received from God. Now, I'm going to stop right there. Whenever Christians are about the Father's business, when we are on assignment, Satan's going to make sure that he puts stumbling blocks or attempts to put stumbling blocks in our way to get us off course so that we can take our eyes off of the assignment in God's word and onto the challenge. So Paul was no different. He was about the Father's business. And as soon as Satan saw that he was being successful, he said, no, this is what I'm going to do to Paul. So it says at the very bottom of that verse 7, it says, a messenger of Satan. So Satan put a messenger on him to torment and harass me, to keep me from exalting myself. So, excuse me. So we know that whenever we get on course with the word of God, we're going to get some opposition. That's Satan. He's going to do whatever he can to get you off course. But look what the word of God says. Verse 9. When Paul pleaded to the Heavenly Father to remove the messenger of Satan, this is God's response. It says, my grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness, my mercy are more than enough, always available, regardless of the situation. For my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself more effectively in your weakness. So here's what I want you to understand from that response. First, the messenger to harass and torment did not come from God. Two, the fact that we have Jesus Christ within us because we are born again and have accepted the gift of salvation, we have the strength to stand against Satan within us. We don't have to plead for him to be removed because he's already been defeated. He has no place in our lives unless we give him place. And that's a result of either ignorance of God's word. You don't know what the word of God says, so you allow Satan to attack. Or number two, you are disobedient to God's word. And so you play his game. But God is reminding us that his power that lives within us is sufficient to keep Satan away from our individual lives, our loved ones' lives, our communities, our nation, our world. But we have to use God's word effectively. And when we do, Satan has to run and flee. All right, let's drop down to verse number 10, the very last part of that verse says, "For when I am weak in human strength," this is Paul speaking, "then I am strong, truly able, truly powerful, truly drawing from God's strength." And family, you and I both know that that is the truth. When we come up to a situation that we cannot handle in the natural, we need to call out to our Heavenly Father based on covenant scriptures and allow His strength to come forth to give us the answer, the solution, the plan and purpose. That's what Paul did, and that was the victory in his life. It is very clear that Paul's thorn was not sickness or any disease. To say it was is a gross misinterpretation of God's word and how God operates. This scripture passage clearly identifies that the thorn in the flesh was a messenger of Satan, not sickness or disease. Now, I deliberately chose to use the Amplified Study Bible for this teaching because it gives the reader the best word-for-word translation of the actual Hebrew and Greek passages for these passages we are reading. However, so that you don't get confused and accuse me of misleading you, I want to explain to you that your Bible may use the term infirmities. If it does, I encourage you to do a word search for this verse, and you will find out that in the Greek, this word is kakopathos. That's K-A-K-O-P-A-T-H-O-S, meaning afflictions, persecutions, or evil sufferings, not sickness or disease. See, family, this is why it's so very important for us to study individually, to search the scriptures, get some understanding of the Greek and Hebrew language so that you can better understand what the scriptures are telling us. Because we could be misled by just reading the Bible. Because if we hear religious traditions, misinformation regarding scripture and verse, and you read the verse and you don't understand the true meaning of the words, you will get misled. You will be deceived, and Satan will use it against you. Furthermore, it was Satan that gave this demonic spirit the task to harass and persecute Paul in hopes of diminishing Paul's commitment to do God's word and completing his divine assignment. Before I move forward to explain that this same scheme is still being used on us today, I want us to read two passages from the Old Testament. The term thorn in the flesh, when referring to an enemy, was commonly known and used in the Bible with regards to Israel's adversaries. Please turn to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 33, 1 verse 35. "But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then those who you let remain of them will be like pricks in your eyes and like thorns in your sides, and they will attack you in the land in which you live." Now notice that they immediately identify who Israel is coming up against. That first part of the verse says, "Drive out the inhabitants of the land." The inhabitants of the land are the people. Then as you drop down to the last part of the verse, it says, "They will be like thorns in your sides." Thorns in your sides. So these individuals, if they were not taken out, destroyed, they would come against Israel in the future, and they will be a harassment and persecution to them. Let's also go to the book of Joshua. Joshua 23, verse 13. It says, "Know and understand with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out from before you, but they will be a snare and trap to you, and a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Again, the message is drive these nations out from before you. The nations, not sickness and disease, people. These were the adversaries of Israel. And this common usage of thorns was used and was well known under the New Testament as well, because we're talking to people of Jewish faith. So they understood these terms. Notice that it says at the end, and thorns in your eyes. So there would be an irritant, a harassment, persecutions would come upon them as a result of allowing these nations to be within their bounds. Notice that the thorns referred to in these verses were not sickness and disease. Again and again, I say it. The thorns were people with evil intentions who would come against Israel if Israel was not obedient to God. God was warning his people of the consequences of their sin. Remember, our protection and provisions are based on us being obedient to God's word. But if we choose to follow Satan and his evil schemes, God will not stop you because he would be violating your free will. As a result, God must allow you to choose right from wrong freely. It is our own individual decision to make. In the very same manner today, Satan's evil spirits follow us around to harass and persecute us. And Satan uses people, including family members, to do his evil work against us. Satan wants to get us off course in our faith walk. When Christians are focused on doing the work of the Lord, Satan has his evil spirits put pressure on us to keep us distracted by the trials and tests. He does not want us focused on God's word. Satan is threatened by godly people who are walking by faith and being a holy example for the world to see and follow. So what must we do? We must do what Paul did, and that is to diligently do God's word and be strong in the Lord. Keep in mind that Jesus has already defeated Satan. No harm can come against those who put their full trust on Jesus, the promised deliverer. Let's read from the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Verse 13 says, "Now who is there to hurt you if you become enthusiastic for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, though it is not certain that you will, you are still blessed, happy to be admired and favored by God. Do not be afraid of their intimidating threats, nor be troubled or disturbed by their opposition." Verse 15, "But in your hearts set Christ apart as holy, acknowledging him, giving him first place in your lives as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope and confident assurance elected by faith that is within you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Verse 16, "And see to it that your conscience is entirely clear, so that every time you are slandered or falsely accused, those who attack or disparage your good behavior in Christ will be shamed by their own words." Last verse, verse 17. "For it is better that you suffer unjustly for doing what is right, if that should be God's will, than to suffer justly for doing wrong." Now, family, I want to point out, as Christians, you will get persecuted. You will get betrayed. People will come against you because you are doing God's work. And it's all instigated by Satan, but it will happen. But this passage here in 1 Peter lets us know that even when it does happen, we have to keep our focus on the Word of God. So I want to start with verse 13 and remind you of some very important points that are being made in this passage that we should keep in mind as Christians. It says, "Now who is there to hurt you if you become enthusiastic for what is good?" That is so awesome. I don't care what if Satan himself should come up against us. If you are doing God's work and your life lines up with the Word of God, He cannot hurt you. He cannot get you off course. Remember, He's already defeated and under your feet. So don't give Him place by playing His game. Don't cower because you got the Word of God, to stand up for you. And it is through the victory of Jesus Christ that we have overcome. In fact, the scripture says we're more than overcomers in Christ Jesus. So we don't have to be afraid. Then in verse 14, it says, "Do not be afraid of their intimidating threats, nor be troubled or disturbed by their opposition." Amen. Last verse, verse 16, I want to highlight that last part of the verse. It says, "Those who attack or disparage your good behavior in Christ will be shamed by their own words." Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so sorry, family. My time is up. Please come back next week as we continue our study on divine healing, our covenant right. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.